Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Favor Life, the process of there with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining me this afternoon for our program, our show of empowerment, where we are encouraging you in your walk of faith and encouraging you in your stand of faith, because we understand in this season and this time that our faith is pleasing to God even the more now, especially since we are facing all kinds of crisis and pandemics and all kinds of uncertainties. Our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what is the foundation of what we know, believe, stand on, and it is that which causes the title deed of what we hope for, what we expect to come to us, because we understand that it is founded in and on Jesus Christ. So we thank God that he has empowered us and that he gives us his word, his life, and his truth, and that we are able to see the manifestation of what we pray by faith, because our faith pleases God, and he wants to see us use our faith to decree and declare his word, his truth, in the atmosphere, in the earth, to see the manifestations of great things. We are the heirs of Jesus, of Abraham, and we have the faith of Abraham, and because we do, we receive Jesus Christ, but we also have received everything that Abraham himself walked through, but we also have the responsibility to now walk in an era, in a place where we see that type of faith as Abraham, to see nothing and see out of nothing. We see something. We see something and we pull it. We call it. We stand on it until we see the full manifestation of it. And that place of favor life is the place where we see God's favor in the earth and with him moving on our behalf. So we're going to encourage you today, and we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been teaching on, preaching on, about the process of allowing God's will to be done in our life and not hating that process and not hating what God is doing in our lives when we're going through, because we understand that his word lets us understand that he tries our heart. He tries us in the places like he did Israel to test the character, to see what type of character we have, to see if we would stand on the word of God and produce his spirit, to produce his life, produce the fruits and the attributes of the spirit, so that we look like him, we display him, and if we will be obedient to him, and even in the hard places, even in the making places, will we still be obedient to the will of the Father? You have to understand that when we fight and wrestle with God, we are walking in a place where we are saying that God's will for our life is not good, and that what he's doing in our life is not good, and we don't like it. And we take on the spirit of Saul. And Saul, when he was given the opportunity to obey God, he wanted to please himself more. He wanted to please the people more. He wanted to take back a huge bounty of souls from the Amalekites, and he wanted to make sure he looked good, and he didn't want to do what God said. And in doing what God said meant that God was going to use him to be the leader that was going to bring Israel back to a place of faith and trust in God, that they were going to rely on God, depend on God, and see God as God, and know that he was real and that his presence was there, because they were afraid. They were afraid of what was going on around them. They were afraid of the things that were happening, and they began to run because of the Philistines. They began to run because of the sound of their enemies, the terrorizing comments and the things that they were doing, and the size made them move out of their faith into a place of fear. And so they moved into their flesh. And so when you operate in that place of walking in your own flesh, the enemy uses that to make you run, to make you afraid, to make you anxious, to make you move in your own way, and to make you move outside of the plan and the purpose of God. But when we are steadfast and unmovable and abide in God, we are able to produce the authority of God, the life of God, the truth of God, even when we're waiting to the very last moment. Saul moved because Samuel was 7 days late. He was late coming to bring the sacrifice, and the men were scattering because of the fear. And so he did it himself, knowing that he was out of his league and he was moving in a way that was out of the plan and the purpose of God. And you don't want to move out of the plan and the purpose of God because you're anxious and because what you're waiting for has not showed up in the timing of what you want, or it looks like you're being defeated, or it looks like you're going to lose, or it looks like the thing that you want is going to slip through your hands. If you're waiting on God and you're trusting him and you know that he said he was going to come through, then you can depend on him coming through. And God never shows up late. He always shows up on time, even if it's not the timing of what we want. He knows all the beginnings and the ends of everything. And he understands when he shows up, it is to finalize and to complete something. It is to do something in your life, in your midst, that you have not seen and the enemy does not want to manifest. But God is going to do it because he loves you. And because he's going to show himself strong and mighty in your life. When you move in your flesh and operate in your flesh, you're leaning to your own understanding. You're moving in the place where you're saying, what I think about this, what I feel about this is greater, and I want that to be manifest. But manifesting that does not bring the glory of God. And you have to let God be glorified in your life so that he can bear much fruit in you, and you build the character in you, and you build an endurance that you stand no matter what season you're in, no matter what you're facing, that you can stand knowing that God will be there, and he's the saving strength of his anointed. That Paul even lets us understand that he's been in many, many places and under many circumstances and faced many things in his life, but because he built an endurance of faith in God, it didn't matter where he was. He knew he could trust God, and God was going to show up on his behalf, but he continued to allow his hope to be built on in God and in his word. He allowed God to show up and be God, even when it didn't look like it was going to work out for his good. He still understood what it was to know what it was to find himself in a place that it was not good. But he understood, I'm going to praise God. I'm going to glorify God. I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to hope in him. I'm going to be content in this place, knowing that God is in control and that he has the last say so. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. And what he begun in me, he's going to complete. And if I'm not finished, then it doesn't matter what it looks like. I will complete what God has begun in me, because he has not finished the work in me. And so Paul understood what it was to stand on the word of God and know that God is faithful. And God is trying to build that type of endurance in us, in the church, because many of us have not allowed that process to happen, because anytime God began to make us, we got out of the will, we got in the way, we did it our way, we let go, we got angry, we turned our heart to a hard place against the will of God, we bucked against what he was doing, we started complaining, we started speaking against what he was doing in our heart and our mind with our attitude and our words. And so God is saying, in this season, I'm trying to teach you how to endure, how to produce me, how to have the character of me in the process of what I'm taking you through, so that I can prepare you for your future, prepare you for your tomorrow, because I'm going to use you and I'm going to establish something in your life that I can be glorified. And so it doesn't feel good to go through the process, but the process is necessary because it takes us to a place of faith, takes us to a place of trusting God and knowing that he will not fail, that he will show up and he will do exactly what he said. So you have to allow that process to take place. And I know it doesn't feel good, but it's necessary because it's cutting away the things that are not like God. It's giving you the mind and the heart of him even more. It's building and establishing trust in your relationship with him, intimacy. And it makes you confidently trust that no matter what's happening, God is going to be with you and he's for you. And that the enemy and all of his lies are going to be defeated. That God is going to allow your overcoming testimony, that which you have in him, that is established in him by and through the blood of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, to grow and to increase. But every time it grows and increase and you obey God and you submit to God, you bruise the enemy's head, because you are saying, I will not be as you were. I will not rebel against the will of God. I will make myself abide in the place where he is, in his presence, in his word, in his will. And even while I'm waiting on him, I will praise him. I will worship him. I will adore him. I will do what is in my heart to do that he's commissioned me to do for him. And I will do it in obedient faith and with obedient feet, with an attitude and a heart and a character that glorifies God, that lets me understand that he's in control. And no matter where he takes me and no matter what goes on in my life, he has the final say, and he will produce out of me and in me everything that he says. And when you are allowing yourself to do that, that place of process is a cutting place. It's a painful place, but God is going to get the glory out of you because he knows the way that you take, and you're going to come forth as pure gold. Don't change your name because of the pain. Naomi changed her name because of the pain, because she couldn't understand what God was doing. She didn't see the end result, and she ran away from famine to get and go into the land of the Moabites to get away from the famine that was happening in Jerusalem. But what she ended up doing while she was running away from the death that was going to happen there, and the famine and the drought and all the things that was going to happen there, she ran into a place and lost her husband and her two sons, lost money and everything that she had. And so because of that, and she didn't understand what God had in store, what God was setting up, she changed her name and said, "Don't call me anymore Naomi, call me Myra, call me bitter. Call me bitter." And she was bitter against what God was doing, and bitter against the hand of God, and bitter against the plan of God, not understanding and knowing that God was up to something great. And what God wanted to do was engraft in a people so that he can show what was going to happen and transpire when Jesus shows up on the scene. He was going to engraft in engraft in a people that should not be part of his kingdom, but he brought them in so that they could understand who he was and have a relationship with him. And so you may not understand always what God is doing, but you can trust the God who's in control and his word that never fails. You can trust what he's telling you. And as you trust him and believe him, you will see the greatness of his hand, of his power in your life operating and moving. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Be encouraged and know that you are victorious and you are an overcoming in Christ Jesus, no matter what it looks like, that you conquer what should conquer you. Trust in God and don't doubt, and allow his authority, power, and life and truth to lead you and guide you in your victory that he's already purchased, and know that you will overcome as you stand on the word of God. God bless you.